Hey, deep fried fans. Have you ever had fried sweet potatoes? In the South, some people call them sweet taters, but hey, it doesn't matter what you call them, they are absolutely delicious. Give them a try. This is Ellie Mae here to announce show number 20, recorded live at the Professional Developer Conference in October of 2008. In this episode, Keith and Woody sit down with Steve Marks, the program manager for a new operating system announced at PDC called Windows Azure. They discuss what Windows Azure is and what developers need to know about this cloud operating system to help them build new applications and services in the cloud. Okay, deep fried fans, grab that glass of sweet tea and get ready for some Gumpology.
Hey folks, we're here with Deep Fried Bites. We're at the PDC 2008. My main man Woody, what's up?
Hey, my belly's full and I'm ready to do some more recording.
Yeah, we just we grabbed a little quick little snack there, folks. We're actually going to talk about Azure today, and we're sitting down with Steve Marks, who's a PM on the Azure team, and he's going to give us a scoop on it.
He's specifically the Windows as now is it as Azure or Azure or.
Well, listen, I'm going to tell you something. So in the U.S., it's pronounced Azure. We went and we looked it up. We looked it up in like 10 dictionaries and whatever, and the word was Azure, with emphasis on the first one. Everywhere else in the world, like every other country, it's Azure. So we're sort of tolerant of both, but, you know, being the U.S.-centric folks we are, we say Azure.
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 I heard you guys even passed around a audio file around the people within the company to make sure that people knew the official
yep.
the official pronunciation.
And there were some mnemonics too. There was sort of, you know, the just look out the window as you're walking by. That was the, you know, get it? You know, Azure.
That's nice.
That was the attempt to get it stuck in people's heads. Yep.
All right, so Steve, give us the, you know, this is a really big thing. You guys got a huge booth. You're probably the largest thing going on over here in this area. I mean, everybody's just hanging out at the booths and talking and looking at everything.
Cool backpacks. I like the backpacks.
Cool backpacks being given away. And you guys have got, like, you know, just an army of people mm-hmm. over here. So, you know, give us the breakdown on what Azure is and how things are
okay.
coming out. So
okay, so let me so Azure itself is this whole platform. It's this cloud services platform from Microsoft, and it's got a lot of components, and it has a bunch of services that you can use to build your applications. And at the bottommost layer, if you think of it in that way, of the platform is what I work on called Windows Azure. And Windows Azure has that Windows name because it's the operating system for the cloud. So instead of starting by building a data center, plugging in a bunch of computers, finding an OS to run on them, buying networking gear, load balancers, you let us take care of that. Windows Azure does that for you, and we help you run your code in the cloud.
So why did you guys create a new operating system? What was the reason there?
Well, so I want to differentiate between the operating system that you think of, you know, hey, my desktop is running Windows Vista, right? And is this a new thing? Is Windows Azure a different operating system from that? It's not, actually. It's a different kind of operating system. So it's this cloud operating system. And then within the cloud, there are individual servers. And you know what they run? They run Windows Server 2008.
Okay. I still don't get it.
So is it like a mesh OS? Is it like a like a infrastructure? It's like an OS that connects a bunch of different servers together?
It's sort of at a broader... Right, exactly. It's that operating system that treats that big... we call it this fabric of servers. It treats this as one big computer. And it's the thing that manages all that, orchestrates everything that happens in there. Handles things like deploying things, upgrading things, stuff like that. And then those individual servers that are just a component of this, they do run a normal Windows operating system that you would run on any server.
So Azure is like the central control mechanism, kind of. It's like the overlord of the servers or something?
It is the overlord of the servers. I like that. That's going to be our new tagline. Windows Azure, overlord of your servers.
Overlord of the
cloud
servers.
Overlord. Overlord cloud.
That's good. I like it. But yeah, that's what it is. It's there to kind of automate a lot of tasks that used to be a bunch of people running around a data center, swapping out pieces, go and install, reboot a machine. We've automated all that, and we've made that into this big smart fabric.
So when a company that uses Azure goes from maybe using a product that's up in the cloud on the platform, and they're in beta, and then they're going to go production, and they need 10 times more performance and space, so they just say, give me more room, and then this Windows Azure kind of says,
the overlord
says, expand, give me more, give this...
Let there be more computers.
Yeah, let there be more.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you go to a web page, you change the number from two instances of this thing to 150, and we say, all right, you got it. Our overlord goes and looks through the fabric. We're calling it that now. That name is going to stick. Make sure that we have the resources, finds the right servers to put it on, and goes and does it. Yeah, so that's absolutely the idea is, you know, you retain the control of your application, deciding how it should scale, what the rules should be. We help you automate that work, though, you know, so the stuff that you don't really want to do that you'd like us to do in an automated way, that's the stuff that we can take care of.
So let's back up and punt here just a little bit. Give us where you see people using it and where, what kind of impact is this, do you think it's going to have? And then give us, you know, timelines, you know, release stuff and all that.
Yeah, sure. So it's actually going to have an impact in a lot of different places. I think that Windows Azure is useful anytime you've got an application you want to run at internet scale, right? It's something that's got to grow. It's got to be really big. It's got to handle all that data. It has to automate all the upgrades. A server goes down, a hard drive goes bad, all those things. So anything that people want to run at scale and they want this ability to do, you know, like you said, hey, maybe this weekend we've got an event going. All of a sudden, everyone's hitting our podcast and our servers are overloaded. Well, you know, for the weekend, let's just crank up the dial. Let's turn it up. Let's triple our hardware. And then let's turn it back down when it's done. And so it's going to have an impact on all kinds of applications like that.
Okay, so I don't have the extra hardware. Where's the hardware coming from?
Yeah, so the hardware is in the Microsoft data center. So this is a service hosted by Microsoft. The mental model we try to give people is we've got infinite hardware and infinite capacity. Of course, it's not true, but we have enough. And that's the idea, is that we've over-provisioned so you don't have to, right? So instead of you having to go grab three times the hardware just in case some weekend you do need it, you don't have to do that. You just get the hardware that you need when you need it, and we take care of that.
Are you relying heavy on virtualization and a lot of that in the cloud? So,
yep.
I mean, our listeners like to know the nitty-gritty kind of geeky stuff. So is this, I mean, everyone's heard the last like 6 months to a year about Hyper-V. So is this Hyper-V on steroids?
Oh, Hyper-V is a huge star of Windows Azure. Absolutely. It is Hyper-V that we're using. We've gotten to even do some optimizations beyond what we could do from Hyper-V to start with, because we know some things about the data center. We know what kind of hardware we run. We know what the workload is typically like. So we got to get even more efficient on that. A lot of the optimizations we made are actually just going back into Hyper-V itself. And so everybody's going to get that in just their server tools. It's a bunch of physical servers. They're virtual machines running on those. Everything is virtualized. Your application actually runs in its own isolated virtual machine, which means you have performance guarantees. Like, no one can go do a bunch of work and starve you of CPU or anything, because, no, you actually have guarantees based on the virtualization. And, of course, the security isolation that comes with that. I don't have to worry about somebody else mucking with my data or overhearing my network traffic, because everything's VLAN off, everything's in virtual machines. And so virtualization is really the technology at the bottom that makes this all possible.
I'm a startup company. I'm an internet startup, right? And I want to scale to, you know, go global with my stuff. This is sort of the story that we heard at the keynote, that's sort of where this fits. So walk us down that, you know, kind of replay that same story so everybody that wasn't at the keynote can kind of get the same feel. So
yeah, so I'll actually tell you about one of our customers. They're a company called Sentient, and they have this new thing called Bluehoo. And Bluehoo is this social networking, sort of proximity-aware networking thing on the phone. So my phone talks to other phones that are nearby, discovers they are Bluetooth-enabled, and then talks up to the cloud to find out who it is, and can I send them a message, and what's their profile, and things like that. And they did exactly the story we expect a lot of startups to do on top of Windows Azure, which is that they took our SDK and they built all their code without ever touching the cloud. So our SDK lets you do a complete simulation offline. So everyone was so they were able to do all of their testing in an offline manner without going to the cloud. When they were done, they sort of handed the code over to this overlord in the cloud who distributed it out to machines, got it running, and we ran it with just a couple of instances, right? So we were running this on a very small amount of compute resources because they were still in testing and whatever. At the keynote at PDC on day one, they actually went live. They told everybody about their site. It has just this great possibility of going real viral. And so they cranked up the number. They did it there on stage. The CEO of the company just stood there, clicked a couple buttons, and changed it because it's just that easy in this kind of environment. So that's, I expect a lot of startups who don't know if they're going to make it big. And even if they know they're going to, they don't know exactly when and how fast will that happen and just how big. And this is a great way to not have to, as I said, over-provision, not have to buy a bunch of servers in advance, but wait for that to happen and only take those resources when you actually need them. And that also means, you know, only pay for them when you actually need them.
Okay, so I've written web apps and I've written client apps and you know everything. So I'm sitting in Visual Studio as a developer and I hit publish. I'm publishing it out to your data center somewhere that we've got an agreement, we've signed, we've given you lots of money, billions of dollars. No, I'm kidding. So
no, that is what the first instance costs $1 billion. Every other one is just this small incremental cost,
free,
but a billion
right,
is
right.
The Yeah, it's the upfront.
You have to pay the big overlord tax
yeah.
first.
I mean, he's an overlord, right? I mean, that's
right, exactly. So we, you know, I hit publish, and I'm going to publish to a something server thing. I don't really care about it. It's going to be an endpoint or something somewhere, and it's going to. I mean, what can I run out there, and what can't I run? Can I just run?
Yeah.
I mean, can I deploy ClickOnce apps to it? I mean, can I deploy web, WCF? I mean, what's the story there?
Yeah, you can actually run a lot of stuff. I do want to get back to the number. It's not a billion. It's zero is actually really key, right? You haven't actually paid anything until you go deploy because you're not consuming any resources yet. So it's actually a really important point about shifting away from capital expenses of buying servers up front to more of a consumption-based model, right? And we haven't announced any pricing or business model to this yet, so it's possible we'll offer sort of a variety of things. But this idea of you only use what you use, and you only use what you need, and you use it just when you need it is really core to this. So back to your question about what could I run at this point, in our CTP, and you asked a question earlier about roadmap. We should sort of lay out the roadmap. But today there's a CTP of all of this, a technology preview, and in that CTP, you can basically run web code or what we call this worker role code. And the web code can be ASP.NET or really any managed code that IS7 can host. Basically, use IS7, loads it up. So if you want to do a module or something like that, that'll work. But the standard path is to use ASP.NET there. And then in this worker role, it's really any .NET code that you want to run in the cloud. So, I mean, really very, very little restrictions on that. So you could, for example, be running something that's part of the back end of a website maybe and trolls over the data every night and produces some reports, generates thumbnails out of images, something like this, right? Or it could be something completely different. It could be SETI at home, but SETI in the cloud, right? And we could be searching for extraterrestrial life, and it just sits there and spins forever, you know, analyzing the next piece of data. It could be computing digits of pi. I don't know, right? It could be doing bulk file conversions, something like this. So really the restriction at the CTP is it's got to be managed code and has to run in a restricted code access security policy that looks a lot like Medium Trust that you might be used to for shared hosting.
Right. Hey everybody, I wanted to thank our sponsor this episode. It's TechSmith. They make some really cool products. If you've ever tried to do snapshots and screen captures of your applications or maybe your desktop, you know, sometimes it can be difficult. Well, Snagit does a great job with that. So, I recommend it if you're working with PowerPoint presentations or or software documentation or blogs, just about anything that you need to capture areas of your desktop.
That's right. You know, Camtasia Studio just came out with version 6.0, and it's a great product too. The really cool features I like about it, Woody, are they now support QuickTime movies. That is awesome. So now my little HD camera that I have saves stuff as QuickTime. So now I can actually edit my video and produce something and put it up on YouTube. So both of them are great products, folks. If you haven't ever tried them out, please give them a try. They're very involved in the community, and we certainly appreciate them.
So you can find evals and more information on the products at techsmith.com.
What if I wrote like the next, you know, massively multi-online player game?
Yeah.
That's interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So I could just deploy out to the, just throw it out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, throw it out
say,
there.
Go.
And as people, as it gets consumed, you're going to get charged more and more.
Well, you just scale with it. And
scale with it.
I'll play.
So I have a question. So can I go out and say I want, and I have a web app that goes back to a database. So I go, you know, I want 2 web servers and 5 database servers. And then maybe have 1 server that just does WCF. Do you have that much control, or is it slightly different the way that your infrastructure works?
You do have that much control. At the CTP, you're actually a bit limited in that you can have 1 web role and 1 worker role. And, of course, those can scale as much as you want, but you sort of have to have predefined. Like in your example, that WCF service, you'd have to combine that with the web role. But this is just a CTP limitation. In general, yeah, we can absolutely handle stuff like that. You mentioned database, which actually brings me to an interesting point that we should talk a little about, which is what does data look like in this cloud environment? And keeping in mind that our design point was this internet scale cloud stuff, we had to find a way to scale data to just, you know, to the billions of rows, to the kind of traffic you can imagine goes to something like Facebook or Twitter, right? Imagine their kind of data needs. And so we've actually built a new storage system that's part of Windows Azure, and it gives you blobs, which look a lot like files. It gives you queues, which are good for just kind of async message passing. And it gives you tables. And the tables are non-relational, but they're massively scalable. They're extremely efficient, extremely fast. The idea is just build a really efficient distributed file system, layer some structure on top of that, and that's our tables. In a layer that's above me, and remember if we had this picture in our heads of Azure as this entire platform and Windows Azure as that bottom layer, just sitting on top of my head would be SQL services and some of the other Azure services. SQL services is there to meet that need of what if I actually need a full relational database with rich querying capabilities and I need that all in the cloud. SQL services is the answer to how to do that.
And there's other services like SharePoint services,
SharePoint CRM, the live services like Live ID, but also like the Live framework that was actually unveiled here at PDC. Also, that lets you manage personal data, personal connections, synchronizing data and applications, and some .NET services that actually are mostly aimed at enterprises, but help you do things like access control. Service bus that lets you kind of connect things. Imagine I have some stuff in my data center, some stuff in the cloud. How do I make sure those things can talk to each other, that they make it through any firewalls that I have? Maybe I need to use that access control story with federated Active Directory so that my users can just use the Active Directory at work to connect straight to a cloud service. That stuff's all in that layer. So it's actually the full Azure platform is much bigger than just this operating system layer that we're talking about here. It includes a lot of the components you need to build these internet scale apps and enterprise ready app.
You guys are basically hosting all of your live stuff through this, or like all the mesh and all that kind of stuff is going.
Yeah.
This is part of that, right?
Yeah. Some of these are actually running today on Windows Azure. Some of them were being built in parallel and so have some of their own infrastructure, but are going to build on top of Windows Azure in the future.
The CTP that you mentioned earlier, you have one role and then one, what was it? A process,
yeah, you have a
or,
web role and
a web role and a worker role.
Okay, well, okay. So what if, I'm just trying to think here, could I just like upload my blog to this thing and host my blog out there? I mean, what is that what the role of
I
it?
I promise
what?
The listeners at home that I did not prep him with that question, but my blog, blog.smarx.com, S-Marx, S-M-A-R-X, is hosted in Windows Azure and is running right now. It keeps all the data in there, and it's serving all the web front ends from there. So absolutely, a blog is a fine example of what you might run in here. Yeah.
Do you have a, is there a post or a resource out on MSDN that shows someone? I mean, a blog should be pretty easy to set up. Is there some place that someone could take a look to see this is how you set up a blog in Azure?
There's I actually gave a talk on the first day at PDC where I basically built my blog code on stage. A little bit of scaled down version of it, but pretty close. And I intend to publish the whole all the source code for my blog so that everyone can take a look. So if you go to my blog, you can probably find the source code for my blog in sort of some meta blog post of the blog talking about itself. I come check that out and tell me what I did wrong and read the source code, figure out how to hack my account.
Okay, so like a blog, you know, gets hit like every now and then. So when it's sitting idle, you know, a blog, you know, sits out there and it runs. I mean, is it going to be cost prohibitive for like bloggers that, you know, pay $5 hosting accounts, they get email and all of those other services, but they want to host something out, you know, out there? Is it really going to be cost affordable for them?
Yeah, so we haven't announced any specifics about the pricing or the business model yet, but what we did say in the PDC keynote on day one is that we're going to be competitive with the industry, and so if you look out there are actually a lot of cloud computing options already. For us to be successful, we have to be competitive both on quality and features, but also on the pricing.
I'm a developer. I've developed this ASP.NET app, and I want to deploy it. Is there an add-in to Visual Studio that allows me, after I've signed this agreement with Microsoft for Azure,
yep,
or Azure, that
as,
I can just
look out the window as you're walking
as
by?
As you're walking, that I can just push a button and that will deploy out to the cloud. Is it going to be that simple at some point?
There's as of today, you can go into part of the SDK is a Visual Studio add-in. And it gives you these capabilities. And one of those things is, yeah, you right-click, you click publish. It actually spits out two files and takes you to a web portal where you put those two files in and you hit go. In the future, it'll be a programmatic thing. So you could make it part of your build process. You could make it just a single click in Visual Studio. That kind of integration we definitely want to do in the near future.
Yeah, because you guys are like doing like a package, some kind of you zipped everything up, or
yep,
you package it in something, and then you put it up there, and then you expand it, I guess, behind the scenes.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Figure out, you know, put this here, put that there, and 20 machines, and go.
Yeah, that's pretty much, and in fact, there's a package file, and it's basically a zip file of all your binaries. It's not quite, but it's pretty close. And then there's a configuration file that tells us things like how many instances of this to run, things, you know, the topology of your service, and things that we need to know to both deploy it and then to maintain that state to make sure that you're still up all the time.
Do you have any numbers that you can give us in terms of like how many servers and stuff and geo locations? Do you have any like, you know, numbers you can share with that kind of stuff about what's going on behind the scenes?
We have thousands and thousands. That's the number that I'll give you in terms of servers. At the moment, we're actually in one physical location in the United States. We'll pretty soon be in a few more in the U.S. And in the coming year, we're gonna be going global.
What's the time frame when this is, you know, going to come out and sort of be something that Woody and I can go, okay, we're going to build the next big thing, you know, we're going to rebuild Twitter, we're going to host it in Azure, so that's what we're going to do.
Well, today is the CTP. The CTP starts now, and that lets you, we're sort of staging availability, so people can sign up, we'll send tokens, you know, a few hundred at a time or so, and sort of let people in, and sometime early next year or so, towards the middle of next year, you might see sort of broader availability for people to use. And in the second half of 2009, we'll have commercial availability, at which point we'll have a full SLA. We will be able to actually charge you for things, which means, hey, we can give you money back if we don't do our job. And so that's when the thing gets real serious for serious business use.
It's not, you know, exactly right now, but it's, you know, it's not going to have to wait till 2012 or not like that.
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely. And we're doing this thing in, you know, in internet time. So you'll see us publishing updates every month, every couple months when things are happening.
Where do I go out on the Microsoft site to find more information about Azure?
You go to azure.com. It's A-Z-U-R-E.com for people who didn't know that particular shade of blue before. And from there, you can actually go to everything. From there, you can click on Windows Azure, and there's a big Try It Now button that will let you get straight to it.
So how did it get its name?
I have no idea. Azure's kind of the blue sky kind of. If you look at the color of Azure, it's this think clouds, think skies, think the sky's the limit, think the horizon. You know, you've got this kind of bluish whatever. That's my personal take on it, and I have absolutely no idea how it was really.
Someone in marketing.
Somebody said our marketing overlord, who not the same guy runs a data center, but he said Azure is it. It started to really grow on me. You know how every time the product name comes out, the first time you hear it, you know, I knew the code name. Then I hear this Azure, and I'm like, I'm not really sure. And actually, it does. After a while, it's kind of cool.
Well, you guys kept that pretty quiet.
We certainly did. In fact, I'll give you a business card in a second, and you'll see it has no team name on it. It has no brand. We had PowerPoint decks for the PDC itself that had a fake code name in it, and that we changed the night before the keynote. It was a remarkably successful secret. I mean, this was not leaked at all, which was really cool. It's hard to do in a big company like Microsoft and a big team like ours and a big announcement.
So where'd you come from before you came on to the Azure project team?
Before Azure, I was actually working as a technical evangelist for ASP.NET Ajax. So I was sort of a web guy who liked working with customers, and I was approached by Amitabh Srivastava as our vice president and some of his guys, and they said, you know, we're working on this new thing. It's really cool. And I said, okay, tell me about it. They sat me down. By the next day, I was sold, and I was here working on Windows Azure and talking to customers. Most of my job is actually interfacing with customers and helping them to understand what this is all about and get going.
Well, Steve, I certainly appreciate you sitting down with us. It's very, very interesting. It's nice to meet you. We just walked over to the booth and said, hey, we want somebody that's going to talk about this. And Vic said he's the guy. And
we
so
got the booth overlord.
We got the booth overlord.
Yep, that's me.
The booth overlord. We got the booth overlord who said, you're the next overlord. And so
yeah.
It was good.
And I came. Yeah, well, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for your interest in Windows Azure. And I hope all your listeners have enjoyed hearing about it.
Yeah, very cool. Well, folks, we thank you for tuning in to another episode of Deep Fried Bites. We certainly appreciate you listening. As always, you can reach us at comments@deepfriedbites.com. You can catch us on Twitter @deepfriedbites. It was a pleasure, sir.
Pleasure's all mine. And I really want to thank Steve for bringing Azure out to all of us at PDC.
The Overlord.
The Overlord, yes, yes.
The Overlord.
The Overlord. So that's going to be the title of the
Overlord. I'm actually updating all my slide decks we speak to say Overlord.
Now we got the title for our for this episode, the Overlord.
You're presenting here too, right?
I did three presentations and I'm done.
You're a free man.
Free man. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you.
Bye bye.